broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
The land of the sky, and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Well, a 45-year-old man in Brazil is dead. He died after a 1.5-ton cow came crashing through his roof as he slept at night. Sure enough, he had a corrugated iron roof. They say this cow fell through and just crushed him. His wife was lying in bed right next to him. Fortunately, she was okay, and the cow was okay, but this guy, well, he ate it. They believe the cow escaped from a nearby farm and climbed onto the roof of the couple's house, which backs onto a steep hill. Of course, we've all heard, hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. Well, now you know what can happen when the cow lands. Boy, there's a lot of weird stuff to report tonight, and that's why we are here. This is the program where we dig into all that weirdness. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. I trust things are going well for you on the Isle of Enchantment this week?
Oh, it has been such a busy week here. And it's just like, you know, every single day is so chock full of activity and events that it's weird because I think to myself, I'm supposed to be relaxing. You know, I'm here on an island. There are beautiful beaches everywhere. There are tropical drinks. But instead, it feels a lot like work because, you know, I did come down here to work. It just happens to be in a nice environment. But I've been going out having a lot of adventures, of course. And just a few days ago, I went out boating for a day. Now, we have a friend here named Ida, and she owns a little boat. And so Lauren and I got together with Ida and her friend Rita, and we went across the ocean to this little private beach that you could only access by boat unless you know some of the owners of the private property around it, because the actual beaches all over Puerto Rico are public property. And so if you've got all the property, all the private property around a certain section of beach, then, you know, nobody can access it unless they have a boat. So we go out to this beautiful little beach. Nobody else is there. As far as the eye can see, we've got this beach to ourselves. The water was just clear and blue and beautiful and warm. The water was literally 90 degrees warm. And so here we are out there, you know, swimming around, having fun, getting into, you know, exploring, finding seashells and that kind of stuff. And at one point, we're all just sitting there in the water about, you know, neck deep, drinking beers and that kind of stuff. And I swipe my hand out in sort of a swimming motion, and my hand touched a big, slimy blob. And I realized there was a gigantic jellyfish in the water right there in front of me. And my hand just made absolute contact, just like slapping the back of a basketball, on the top of this jellyfish. Well, I pulled my hand back. I say, jellyfish, jellyfish, right? So we all get away from the jellyfish. But I didn't feel a sting or anything like that because, you know, as far as I knew, I only touched the top of it. Well, immediately, Ida and Rita look at me and they say, hurry, pee on your hand.
Oh, God.
And I said, pee on my hand. Yes, go pee on your hand. So I didn't ask any questions. I go running out of the water. I get up there on the shore, and fortunately, since I was drinking beer, I had no problem immediately turning on the plumbing. And I urinated all over my hand. And you know what? It was quite pleasant. I think I'm going to do that just for fun once in a while now. But anyway, I after this, you know, everything was fine. I never felt a sting or anything along those lines. So I guess that I just didn't touch any of the stinging parts. But Forrest, had you ever heard of that as a remedy?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Actually, there's an episode of Friends. They talk about peeing. One person gets stung. They talk about peeing on the other person to relieve the sting.
Oh, okay. So have you ever been stung by a jellyfish, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop?
Nope, never been stung by a jellyfish.
Well, I'm sure you've been stung by a bee.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I stepped on a bee one time.
Uh-huh.
It was awful.
Is that the worst sting you've ever had?
Yeah, it is. It is. I was little, and it really, really hurt.
Yeah. And probably for most people, the worst sting has been a bee sting. Was it the same for you, Forrest?
I've been stung by a jellyfish.
Oh, and that was worse than a bee?
I would say a bee is worse.
Yeah. Okay. And so where did your jellyfish sting happen?
In Destin, Florida.
Mm. You know, it's weird how sometimes you can go to these beaches, you know, and at the right time of year when the tides are proper, I mean, there are thousands of jellyfish. They're just everywhere.
Ooh.
It's almost impossible to get out and not get stuck, you know? So it's very rare to see a big group of jellyfish around here. This is the first time that I've been to a place where I've seen, like, huge jellyfish. Just for some reason, there was a current right out around that beach. So, but yeah, you know, things are going well. As a matter of fact, I have a pretty exciting update for all of you tonight. You know, one of my big areas of focus here in Puerto Rico has been all of the UFO activity here. And that's why my headquarters are right next to the Laguna Cartagena, the UFO Lagoon, and the extraterrestrial highway and all that stuff. And even though I have found so many great stories from people who have seen these UFOs, I have only seen one UFO photograph. And this was shown to me recently, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, by a bartender. She brought it up on her cell phone and told me that her friend had taken the picture. And I said, well, man, I got to get a copy of this. And it was weird because after that, every time she would try to send it to me, something would go wrong. There would be some technical problem. I mean, it was one of these deals where it began to look like the universe was conspiring against me. And the forces that be out there didn't want this UFO photo to be revealed. And I was starting to get, you know, pretty pessimistic about the possibility that I would be able to show you this photo. In fact, I was going to just go back and get her telephone and say, can I just take a picture off of your screen? But even then, I wouldn't have had permission to put it on the website so that all of you, the listeners, could see this thing. And so I wasn't sure of how I was going to work it out. Well, the good news is suddenly everything clicked into place, and I actually got to sit down face-to-face with the man who took this picture. He told me about the conditions surrounding when he took it. I've been able to verify who he is and his background and his backstory, and he gave me permission to post it on the internet. And so, hour number two, I'm going to tell you about the story behind this photo. In the meantime, if you want to take a look at it, I've got it on my Joshua P. Warren site, and that's because we don't change it as often as we change the Speaking of Strange site. So go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P, and you can get a sneak peek at this photo. You go there, you scroll down, and you'll see it. And you guys are going to be the very first to see it because, I presume once it gets on Coast to Coast AM, the site will just get slammed, and it might even go down for a while. So go check it out now at joshuapwarren.com. And on that same page, I've got a whole new section called World's Wildest Ghost Photos. I'm going to tell you some more about that in hour number two. I tell you what, even, you know, that would be good enough, talking about these pictures, to fill up hour number two. But there's even more, folks. That's right. I have an update for you all on the bodies that have gone missing from the cemetery here in Puerto Rico. This is a very creepy story I was talking about last week. 40 bodies have vanished from a cemetery in a place called Gurabo. And I was able to do a little personal digging and come up with some information for you guys that nobody else has got. So it's another thing I'm going to be breaking here. And if, as if that weren't enough, as if we needed any more material in hour number two, we're also going to touch base with Mr. Mobius. He's going to give us some updates on some research he's been doing and some night vision technology that's being used now that it's summertime and everybody's out stargazing. All that stuff in hour number two. Plus, we got plenty of weird news. We got plenty of Dark 30 material. It's just too much show tonight, Forrest. I don't know what's gotten into me. This is I'm cramming way too much into this program.
You're overworking yourself down there, Mr. Warren. You're supposed to go down there to relax at least a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's we were talking off the air. I am incredibly exhausted. There's just too much going on down here. But I've got to gather it while I'm here. I've got to share it with all of you. When we come back, I'm going to start getting you caught up on some weird news stories from around the country and even the world. And we may as well start in Florida. Why not? It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Ridiculously amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back. hitchhiking Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway. I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange, about to dig into all kinds of weird news from around the country, if not the world. And a little update for all of you. As you know, I am the co-producer of the huge, gigantic Puppy Fest that's going to happen this Saturday, September the 28th, 2013, at the U.S. Cellular Center in Asheville, North Carolina there. It used to be the Civic Center. Puppy Fest is kind of like a, I guess you could call it kind of like a talent show for puppies. We're really just looking for the, you know, a star puppy. And we're raising money. We're going to be raising money for the Humane Society, the Animal Compassion Network, Brother Wolf Animal Rescue. And one of the prizes that the winning puppy's owner will receive is, of course, they're going to get a trophy, they're going to get some cash, but also a picture of the winning puppy is going to be put on a bag of dog food, okay, a popular brand of dog food. And we've been in talks with a number of different dog food companies to see which one is going to be the one that we want to represent what Puppy Fest is all about. And we have finally reached a verbal agreement with a brand of dog food, and I won't announce the name of the dog food until we get everything in writing, just to make sure all is good. But it's very exciting, and it's just another way we're going to push this thing over the top, that, you know, this puppy is going to be a famous puppy. And if you want to know what this is all about, go to puppyfest.com. It's a one-day event, and right now we are taking vendors. $125 gets you a nice booth there, 10 by 10, with pipe and drape there sectioned off. You get a skirted table, a couple of chairs. We can give you some banner hooks, an electrical outlet, a trash can. Really nice space there. And a ton of people are going to see you. It doesn't matter if you have a pet-oriented business or not. It's just, you know, a way to expose any type of business to a lot of people. It's, you know, going to be a big, big event. So go to puppyfest.com. I know you guys are going to be there, Forrest and Shelley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, we need to get a Wright's Coin Shop booth there, you know? We need to keep working on this concept.
I think as a sponsor of Speaking of Strange, Wright's Coin Shop should have their own booth there.
I don't even have a puppy to put at my table.
No, you don't have to have a puppy.
But everybody's going to want to see a puppy.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
People down there wants to give Shelley a puppy.
No. I am not looking for a puppy of my very own.
She's looking for two puppies of her very own.
No puppies, because my kitty will not get along with the puppy.
I'm having so much trouble holding my tongue right now because I have a dark 30 story about a woman who goes into McDonald's, and the guy behind the counter says, "Are those puppies real?" And and she wasn't holding any dogs. Okay, let's put it that way. But that's for the dark 30
we'll
hour.
Safe harbor for that.
We've got to wait till later after that story. Moving right along, let's start in our favorite freaky state. Let's go to Ocala, Florida. That's right. The Florida bell rings every time we have a story from that state. It happens that often. So obviously, if you think you might be hard up for a job, a guy there decided to go into a what amounts to a convenience store and apply for a job. So he filled out his application. And then when the store clerk turned away, the guy reached over the counter and swiped all the cash out of the cash register and then left, of course. So the funny thing is, once the guy is gone and the clerk realizes, oh my goodness, this guy must have ripped off all the cash, they go back and they watch the video footage. And sure enough, they saw the guy clean out the cash register. But that's when they also realize that not that big of a problem, because they have his job application, and it was filled out with all of his personal, accurate information.
Wow.
And so the cops just said, well, this is an open and shut case. They drove to his house and arrested him. See, crime doesn't pay, especially when you're an idiot, kids. All right, let's see next. Oh, here's a little mystery. A mystery from the state of, well, this is from Martin County, Florida. A Martin County family has been living in fear. They say this began when one morning the woman in the family, the mother, went outside and noticed something odd on their SUV. She said it was a 6-inch hole that looked as if it had been clearly cut out above her wheel well. And she called deputies, and they asked if she had any enemies, and she said no. Later that day, a second problem. She found another hole, slightly larger this time, above the rear left wheel. So they called the police again. The cops came out and said they'd never seen anything like that before. And so the police told this woman, look, somebody's coming after you. So finally, as the sun was setting, the woman is taking out the trash, and she quickly ran back inside and grabbed her smartphone. And she realized all the while what had been causing the damage. Do you guys want to take a guess?
I have no idea.
Shelly, any guess?
I didn't know.
Okay. Well, it turns out it was a squirrel doing all this damage.
Squirrel?
Yeah. The woman says, I stood dumbfounded as I watched it chewing apart the body of the SUV like it was a plant leaf. And they say that, you know, they've seen squirrels chew through car tires, but this is the first that a squirrel has been actually chewing beautiful, perfect holes into the steel of a car. So, you know, you'd think that as many squirrels as you have in Western North Carolina, that'd be a problem there, huh? But I've never heard of such a thing either. Have you guys?
No.
It'd be a problem for about 5 more minutes.
Well, you know, here's what it reminds me of. When I was doing Paranormal Paparazzi, one of the first segments that I did was in Bishopville, South Carolina, about the Lizard Man. And Lizard Man is well known for viciously attacking cars. And I actually met a couple who live in Bishopville, and on a number of occasions, they would walk outside and find that their car had been torn all to pieces. And we have lots of great photographs of it, and nobody can explain what has done this. And, you know, obviously, this is a different type of scenario because the squirrel apparently was very meticulous, and it looks like some kind of demon has grabbed a hold of these people's cars down there in Bishopville. So, you know, I'm convinced. I came out of that Lizard Man investigation convinced that there is some kind of weird animal down there tearing up people's cars. And in fact, if you go to joshuapwarren.com and you click on the film and video section of the website, you can watch some video clips, and I believe that Lizard Man segment is one of them there. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue bouncing around the country. We're going to go to Oklahoma, might do something in Michigan, maybe something a little international, Malaysia, the Vatican. Who knows where we'll end up. And that's what we do on this program. We just skip around giving you all the strange news happening around the globe. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And, well, this is going out to high strangers around the globe. We call this program Speaking of Strange. And we'll continue bringing you the news right after this.
Let the drama kick, let the drama kick, die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick, die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick, die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick, die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick, die.
usual, thanks for spending your Saturday night with us. The program is called Speaking of Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And if you are online, go to speakingofstrange.com, and there you will find a live chat during the show. You'll also find regular updates on weird news around the world and links to a lot of the stuff that we discuss here and things that are just cool in general. I mean, you know, when I wrote the book Haunted Asheville, it was the first book of Asheville ghost stories ever written. And then, you know, of course, the next step is people, they read the book and they said, oh, I want to go to these places. And so we created the Haunted Asheville Tours, the oldest and original ghost tours in Asheville. Now there are about five or six different ghost tour companies in Asheville. I mean, it's just amazing how it exploded. And it all started with that book, Haunted Asheville. So, you know, if you're coming to Asheville, don't settle for anything second rate. You know, go with the best and the original. The Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, they were created by me. They are run by locals, and we're constantly updating them with new, groundbreaking, fresh information. And also, it's the only company that takes you into the Asheville Mystery Museum, which is there in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. And we have trolley tours, we have walking tours, but hey, if it's raining, that's fine. We have all kinds of cool stuff we can do for you indoors as well. So before the kids have to go back to school and you have to start getting serious again, go to hauntedasheville.com and let us show you a good time. hauntedasheville.com. Here's a weird story from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Now, imagine this. Imagine you come home from a long day at work, and you walk up to your house with your keys in your hand, about to open the door, and you realize the door is ajar. Ugh. Sinking feeling, right? Now, you'd have to think for a moment, what am I going to do here? Now, Forrest, if that happened to you, would you go inside, or would you stop and call the cops at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I would probably stop and call the cops.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea, because they say, you know, that's the easiest way to get killed if you walk in on a burglary in progress.
Well, I couldn't do that.
It depends on if I'd been at the shooting range that day or not.
Yeah. I could not do that, necessarily. In this one place where I lived, it was a big farmhouse that was cut into four apartments, and the landlords, I was the only tenant in there at the time on the second floor, and so I had to, you know, they wanted to rent the places out, but they wouldn't lock the doors, and you had to walk into the house and then, you know, in order to get to the apartments. And so I tried to explain to them, look, can you lock the door? I'm the only one here. And you know, and they were like, oh, no, it's against our policy. And so every night when I came in from work, I had to go and with my gun check every apartment and make sure there was nobody else in the house before I could get to my own apartment. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, this woman, she came to her house and, you know, she didn't have a gun or anything like that. And she realized here that her house in suburbia, you know, probably had somebody in it. So she backs up and took out her cell phone to call 911. At that point, the door opens a little wider and there's a man standing there wearing her slippers.
Wearing her slippers.
I made you some slippers.
Yeah.
Enjoying a bowl of ice cream.
Exactly. And he says to her, oh, hi there. Come on in.
Come on into your house.
Yeah. She said it was the weirdest thing. So, you know, she called 911. The cops arrived. When the cops got there, they said that this man was still in a very inviting, welcoming mood. That he asked, they said, oh, yeah, come on in, officers. They went inside. They found that he had put a pizza in the oven. And he had a couple of young daughters with him. And the guy's just, you know, literally making himself right there at home. And the police say, what are you doing here? He says, oh, I live here. And they said, well, we could provide some proof, you know, that you live here. And, of course, he couldn't provide any proof because he didn't live there. And then all of a sudden they say the more they started demanding proof, his demeanor went from calm to combative. And that's when things got, you know, a little bit rough for the cops. And they say, you know, they arrested him, of course. And they say that after that, he would go in and out of sort of what seemed like sleepy to hallucinating to delusional stages. For example, there was a female officer there who was 5 years younger than him, and he kept believing that was his grandmother for some reason. And so they say, quote, he was clearly under some kind of intoxicant or having some sort of issue going on, end quote. So in the end, they took the two little girls into protective custody, and he's now facing some serious charges of burglary and assaulting the police. So pretty weird, but, you know, that is always the best bet. If you come home and the door's ajar, just, yeah, call the cops, let them deal with it.
Yeah, it is.
Here's a story from Malaysia. Weird. It says here, a guy believed that the devil was in his house, and so he therefore decided to set fire to it. 54-year-old man set his two-story wooden house aflame at 7:30 in the morning and started screaming that he had killed the devil. And he started also screaming that about the devil. He is trapped in there, and now mankind is free. Of course, this fire quickly spread to other houses, and this guy is running around practically high-fiving people as if he's done the greatest thing ever. They say that it burned four houses to the ground. They had to go in and you know, raise whatever remained there. And obviously the guy is in a hell of a lot of trouble right now, and he still keeps insisting the way he did was good because he killed the devil. Isn't the devil supposed to like fire?
That's what I thought.
Well, I mean, depends if you think about the Dante's version. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's encased in ice.
That's true. You got to know what the devil likes, I guess.
True. I mean, well, if he knew what the devil wanted or didn't want, I guess he would be the expert to talk to. So,
yeah. Well, here's another creepy story about fire. This is from Connecticut. Police there say a woman is accused of setting a fire in her bedroom while her husband was sleeping in there. Says they got into a fight earlier that night over pizza. See how these patterns keep emerging in the stories every week? Pizza and fire, once again. And I'm wondering, what kind of pizza fight can you get into? They don't tell you that. Now, of course, y'all read something like this, and I'm trying, you know, my imagination starts going nuts, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what the pizza problem could have been. He ordered meat lovers and she's a vegetarian, or she likes anchovies and he's not a fish person. You know, it has to be something like that, I guess. I don't know. But the pizza thing escalated into the man supposedly throwing some jelly beans at her. And that was the last straw. He threw some jelly beans at her. Pizza and jelly beans, what a combo. And then he went to bed. She claims that what she did, this is what she told the cops later, was pick up an anniversary card and set that on fire to be symbolic of their marriage. But, of course, you know, it got out of hand. Fortunately, nobody was harmed. But it's just amazing how some of these arguments escalate. In fact, I have a story in the Dark 30 Hour that has to do with a couple getting into an argument that began with a Wii game.
Hey, but that happens more often than you think.
Oh, does it now?
You guys were pretty good, though, when I beat your butts when we were all playing with the Wii game.
When did you beat our butts?
Oh, we were over there for some, what was it the National Geographic party?
Josh, do you remember that?
Yes.
I can forget my butt beaten by Shelley.
Yes. I was very good at, what was it? Was it bowling and tennis and what all did we do? Yes. I was good.
Okay. I think, I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's obviously, Forrest, we have the clear memory of this, so.
Right. Well, why don't we just challenge Miss Wright to some trivia?
Oh, God.
I won't do trivia.
I'm glad that she can only burn you, because I'm in Puerto Rico. She'll be setting the studio on fire. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, here's a weird story from, of all places, the Vatican. And then we'll see, maybe if we can squeeze in another couple stories from Florida, and maybe even something about President Obama. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's Tom Lee Pettimore.
Tonight, Speaking of Strange, coming up next hour, oh boy, the things we're going to dig into. I'm going to tell you the story behind the new UFO picture that I have discovered and am bringing to all of you, the masses, tonight here via the power of radio and the internet. I'm going to tell you some about the world's wildest ghost photos. I've got an update for you on the bodies that have gone missing from the cemetery here in Puerto Rico in a town called Garabo. Very creepy story. And we're also going to attempt to bring Mr. Mobius in and get an update from him on how things have been going on the technical side of things. So let's go back to some news here. Here's a headline from the Vatican. Pope blesses hundreds of Harley Davidsons. Says biker culture came to the Vatican as Pope Francis blessed thousands of Harley Davidsons and their riders, celebrating the manufacturer's 110th anniversary with a loud parade and plenty of leather. Thundering Harley engines nearly drowned out the Latin recitation of the Our Father prayer that accompanied Francis as he greeted the crowd before Mass. Standing in his open-top Jeep, Francis drove up the main boulevard leading to St. Peter's Square, blessing the thousands of people in what was a giant Harley parking lot. And once the service got underway, bikers in their trademark leather Harley vests sat in the square alongside nuns and tens of thousands of faithful Catholics taking part in a rally. Amazing. I bet I bet Jesus would have never envisioned that day. What a sight that would be. Here's a story from Jensen Beach, Florida. This is a lawn gnome story. I don't know what it is with lawn gnomes. You know, people love those things, and they just pop up in weird stories all the time. A former New York City cop and a Martin County courthouse bailiff was arrested, suspected in a string of arsons that has plagued a Jensen Beach neighborhood for years. Deputies took a man there, 71, into custody after he allegedly threw a lawn gnome through the window of a neighbor's house. And he was caught on surveillance video. So apparently, and this story is a little bit weird and hard to understand exactly how all this fell into place, but it seems like the guy threw a lawn gnome through the neighbor's house. They caught this on video, and then they started investigating the guy and realized that he is a serial arsonist. And in the past 7 years, they think he has set at least 10 homes and cars on fire. Another pattern of some sort. Here's another story from Florida. This is from Deltona, Florida. A substitute teacher there was ordered off the campus. This is a second grade substitute teacher. She was told she couldn't be there because she kept claiming that there were people outside her classroom yelling obscenities and becoming extremely upset. But the sheriff's department has said it was all in her head. That, you know, this woman would ramble constantly about people screaming outside. When they realized this woman was having some delusions and they confronted her, that's when she started saying it was the CIA and the FBI with mind control experiments, and that she was trying to get a hold of the President of the United States to tell him about it. And so now they're not sure. You know, they say obviously she's denying she has mental issues, but they're trying to resolve this in the most smooth way, legally speaking. And she blames the government mind control experiments on the cell phone towers nearby. And to maybe add another little step into the conspiracy theorist's mindset on this, apparently AT&T is currently in the process of loading iPhones with IM alerts from President Obama that you cannot switch off. These are considered emergency alerts from Barack Obama. And they say that little by little, as they are adding these in, people will start seeing messages from the president pop up on their telephone. And again, it was installed for emergency purposes, but very few people think it's a one-way street. Who knows what else is being installed along with that. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got some really cool updates for all of you about UFOs, about ghosts, and about The Walking Dead. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. 13 months on baby.